The subject of this tape is race mixing. The purpose of this lesson is to help the believer of any race know the Bible position on integration of races. It's made out of a love for the Lord and for believers of all races who believe God's Word instead of men's philosophy, public policy, liberal thinkers, and the news media. We're going to talk about integration and segregation and what the Bible has to say about it. Now as we begin, let's begin by defining some terms so that we know what we're talking about when we use these terms in the tape. First of all, when I talk about the Bible, I'm talking about the authorized version of 1611, the King James Bible. And according to Webster, the following definitions would apply. When we're talking about the word discriminate, the word discriminate means to differentiate, to recognize the difference between, or to distinguish. I teach our people at Bible Baptist Church to discriminate in the sense that we teach them to distinguish and to differentiate and to recognize the differences between things. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so, at Bible Baptist, we teach our people that the way to rightly, or the way to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, is to rightly divide the word of truth through proper study, and this proper study involves divisions, which, when a person recognizes these divisions, he discriminates. Another word we want to define is integrate. Integrate means to make whole or complete by adding or bringing together parts, to put or bring parts into a whole, to unify. For example, some in government and outside of government would claim that for a home, church, school, business, or neighborhood to be complete, then it must have members of various races in it. And to accomplish that completeness or wholeness, they integrate. So when we're talking about integrate, that's what we're talking about. Now when we talk about the word race, the word race is defined by Webster as being any of the different varieties of mankind. Many anthropologists now consider that there are only three primary major groups: the Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid, each with various subdivisions, sometimes also called races. We'll be referring back to these three divisions that Webster gave in a few minutes. And then another word we want to define, and that word is segregate. Segregate means to set apart from others, according to Webster's dictionary, to isolate, to separate. Here at Bible Baptist Church, we teach segregation. We teach that the believer is to be segregated, that every good Christian is segregated from sin, the world, and false doctrine. To segregate means to set apart. The Bible word for segregate would be separate, or to divide, or to sanctify in particular. Now when we talk about integration and segregation and race mixing, let me start off by saying, first of all, that God is primarily a segregationist. Primarily, He is a divider. In the Bible we find God dividing or segregating in the book of Genesis chapter 1, light and darkness. Before He ever joined anything together, God divided the light from the darkness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. Now, in this study, we're going to give over 40 references, close to 50 references, passages of Scripture, to back up what we're going to say on this short 60-minute tape, which will actually be short of 60 minutes. We'll be giving almost 50 scripture references. And to do that, there's no way that we can read them all, but we will give you the references where you can look them up on your own. Genesis 1:4 says, "And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." Before God joined anything together, he was a divider. In Genesis chapter 1, we find him dividing in verse 4, verse 6, verse 14, and verse 18. God is a segregationist. He segregates in the word of truth. See 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." He segregated the sexes in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where when God made man, he made them male and female. He segregated the races in Genesis chapter 10, verse 32, through chapter 11, verse 9. And we'll be referring to that a little bit later, but let me just say concerning that segregation of races, is that although God segregated the races, the nations decided to unite. And by the way, the Bible doesn't use the word race. Most nations in the Bible were races. You won't find the word race in the Bible. And so as we're talking about race, don't look for the word in the Bible. It's not there. But the races and peoples all united, the nations united in Genesis chapter 11. And you find the United Nations in Genesis chapter 11. You also find Lot toward the end of the chapter. See Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. And sodomy and the United Nations were in the days of Lot. If you'll check out Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, you'll find the Sodomites in the land in Sodom. Now, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be near the second coming of Christ, according to Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 30. Now, the United Nations were in the days of Lot. The United Nations were today. Sodomy was accepted in the days of Lot. It is being accepted today. The second coming of Christ is getting close, my friend. Now, when we find God segregating, he segregated the nations and races. We'll be talking about that more later. He segregates Christians from unbelievers. See 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, where God says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." And then he segregates gifts to believers. God does not give the same gift to every believer. He discriminates. He does not give the same gift to every believer. He is a discriminator. He separates. He gives some things to some believers and some things to others. He is a segregationist. Now, the devil is working and doing whatever he can to break down God's divisions. Now, the Lord joins certain things together, and what he joins together, the devil tries to divide. The Lord divides things, and what the Lord divides, the devil tries to put together. For instance, God divided the sexes. He made man male and female. Or as one fellow put it, when God created man in the garden, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But the devil is at work today to try to break down the division that God set up. He's doing this by the unisex movement. And the unisex movement includes the haircuts, it includes the purses, it includes the high heels, it includes the breeches, it includes the clothing and outward appearance that suits both sexes and makes both sexes look the same. He's doing this through the gay rights movement. And of course, the gay rights is a misnomer in the Bible. Gays do not have rights. In the Bible, sodomites were slain. In the Bible, they killed them. You say, "Well, preacher, are you saying kill every homosexual?" No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what happened in the Bible. They killed them. You say, "What do you think you ought to do with homosexuals?" I think they ought to get saved, is what I think. I believe that we ought to witness to them and try and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But God did not create a man to be a homosexual. A man becomes a homosexual in the Word of God by running from God and running from the truth. But the devil's trying to break down the difference and the distinction between the sexes by gay rights. He's trying to do it by the ERA movement. God created man to be the head over the woman. He created the woman to be the help meat for the man. And the ERA movement is against that. They don't believe that, and they're doing whatever they can to fight that truth. And the ERA movement is supported, organized, and led by Satan. Now the devil is working to break down God's division between the saved and the lost. He does this by counterfeit believers, folks who say they're saved and they're really not. He does that by a corrupted book, that is, a perversion of the Scripture. He does that by carnal behavior, influencing Christians to live like the world, and it breaks down the distinction where people can't tell who's saved and who's not. He breaks down the divisions between good and evil by the situation ethics, by getting his people to preach that good and evil just depends on the situation. It all depends on how you look at it. Now, Satan's preachers, they're good mixers. I mean, they can get along with anybody. God's preachers are good separators or segregationists. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Now God says a person who integrates good and evil, woe unto them. God wants people to segregate. Now, if you're listening to this tape and you don't like the terms that I'm using, that's because you don't know what the terms mean. To segregate means to set things apart, to separate them. To integrate means to put them all together. I'm pointing out some places in the Word of God where the Bible plainly says that we're to be segregationists. Now, between the races, the devil is doing whatever he can to break down God's divisions. God is the one who established the divisions. God is the one who made people like they are. He is the one who established the races. They didn't happen by evolution. They didn't just chance to happen. God did it. Now, the way that the devil's trying to destroy that division is by forced busing and by forced integration of schools, neighborhoods, and businesses. And, of course, our country has really prospered since that's happened, hasn't it? Oh, my, how the education system has prospered and grown since that's happened. You say, you're just a prejudiced bigot. Well, you can do your name calling now, and we'll talk about you later. Concerning racism, let me say how I feel about it. Concerning racism, racial hatred is of the devil. For someone to hate someone else because that they are of another race, that is clearly satanic and of the devil. Racial prejudice is of the flesh. For a person to think that he's better than someone else just simply because of his race is entirely fleshy. It's just pride. Racial mixing is of the world. The world's philosophy is to get all the races together, and we'll be talking about that a little bit more. Racial mixing is of the world. The reason why some believers believe in racial mixing is because that they've been watching the television so much, and because they've been influenced by the news media on radio and newspaper so much, and because that they've seen the public policy and been influenced by it so much in the school systems, in the factories, in the plants. But racial mixing is of the world. Racial discrimination, that is, marking the distinctions, the divisions. Racial discrimination in love is of the Lord. Now, there are three main races, according to most anthropologists and Webster. The three main races recognized by anthropologists came from Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If you have your Bible, take it and turn to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood." Now if you go all the way down to verse 32 in conclusion, and of course if you want to read the entire chapter, but in conclusion, verse 32 says, "These are the families of the sons of Noah after the generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." God allowed Noah to repopulate the earth with three sons. He segregated them. He divided them across the earth. Now, where did they go? By careful study of the book of Genesis chapter 10 and using atlases, Bible atlases, Bible maps, where you can see where these places are located, by reading church history and encyclopedias, you can find that they went in three various directions in the known world at that time. Shem's seed migrated east, southeast, and northeast of Mount Ararat. Shem's seed became the Asiatic and are called Mongoloids. They include the Japanese, Chinese, Polynesians, American Indians, and others. You say, well, how did they get to America? Well, that's another Bible study. But the American Indians were originally from one of Noah's boys and came from Shem. The American Indians did. Now, Ham's seed migrated south, southeast, and southwest of Mount Ararat. They became the Africans and are called Negroid. They include Tunisians, Algerians, Egyptians, and others. Now, Egypt, in Africa, the dark continent, Egypt was called the land of Ham. See Psalm 105, verse 23 and 24, which says, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Psalm 106, verse 21 and 22 says, They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wonderful works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Now, the reason why that Egypt is called the land of Ham is not because of all of the pigs down there, but because that the Hamites migrated to Africa. While Shem's seed were slightly darker than Japheth's, the skin of Ham's seed was distinctively dark. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23 says, Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. The thing that distinguishes a leopard is his spots. The thing that distinguished an Ethiopian, a Hamite, was his skin. Now, Japheth. Japheth's seed migrated west, northwest, and north of Mount Ararat. They became the Europeans and are called Caucasoid. They include the English, Scots, Russians, Irish, Swedes, French, Italians, and others. Now, crossbreeding has marred the physical characteristics, but each of the three races had, and still does to this day, have distinctive characteristics, especially physical characteristics in skin color and facial structure. And those are marred somewhat by crossbreeding between the three main races, but the distinctive characteristics are still there. Now, Bible believers don't believe in evolution. Bible believers don't believe in chance. The distinctive characteristics happen because God made them happen. Man says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, God made the Caucasoid. God made the Negroid. God made the Mongoloid to have certain physical characteristics. And you can point out exceptions to the rule if you want to, but the rule is that God gave them certain definite distinctive characteristics. We who believe the Bible mark the distinctions. Now, in Genesis chapter 9, the Bible gives a prophecy concerning the three men whose seed populated the earth. Noah, inspired of God, gives these prophecies. Genesis chapter 9, the first prophecy was a curse upon Canaan, Ham's seed, the Negroid. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 25, Noah says, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, this curse is placed on Canaan rather than Ham, because Ham was already blessed in verse 1 of the chapter. And also because Ham had just sinned with his father Noah, and the sin that he committed was probably an act that involved Ham's literal seed, sodomy. See Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 through 24. Noah knew what his son had done unto him. Not that he had looked at him, but he knew what he had done unto him. And the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah came from Ham. Take Genesis chapter 10. Now the curse is placed on Canaan rather than Ham, Ham's seed. Ham's seed were to be servants. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. People talk about slavery. Some Christians think that the worst thing that Americans ever did was when the South had slavery. Well, folks, slavery is never condemned in the Bible. Jews were not to enslave other Jews, but you won't find clear-cut statements saying that slavery is wrong. Matter of fact, you find statements like this. Take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. What you'll find is you'll find commandments for servants to honor their masters and for servants to obey their masters, whether their masters are saved or not, whether their masters treat them well or not. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 says this, and we'll read down through verse 5. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Did you get that? The Bible says you tell a servant to obey his master, and if anybody tells you otherwise, if anybody were to tell you, for instance, that a servant should run away from his master, the Bible says, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now what you'll find is you'll find scriptures that command servants to obey their masters. See also Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 through 24. And you might also read the book of Philemon right before the book of Hebrews. Paul returned a runaway slave. Now it's true that Paul suggested that the master receive him as perhaps more than a servant, but the fact is that the fellow was a runaway slave. He got converted. Paul sends him back to his master. Read the book of Philemon. The whole book of Philemon is about this. Now, servitude is an honorable position. As we think about this curse that's placed upon Ham's seed and how that he is to serve, that curse really still puts someone in a position that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself. We find this in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 26 through 28, where Jesus told his disciples, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord told his disciples, if they wanted to be great, be servants. Paul said he was a servant. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And saved people are to be servants of the Lord. The prophecy concerning Ham was that he would be a servant of servants. Hamites are outstanding servants under supervision. Now, I say this kind of thing not as a prejudiced bigot, not as a Georgia cracker, not as a Georgia redneck. I say this as a Bible-believing Christian, believing what I read in the Word of God and having observed Hamites for years. Hamites are outstanding servants under supervision. Under supervision, a Hamite will work rings around a Japhethite or Shemite. But if the supervision's gone, they don't work too well as a general rule. You say, well, I know someone. Listen, the exception does not do away with the rule. The exception proves the rule. Sure, you know exceptions. The second prophecy of Noah involved a second blessing for Shem, the mongoloid, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 26, where Noah said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Oh, how Shem was blessed. You say, well, how was Shem blessed? Well, the Jews came from Shem. Therefore, since the Jews came from Shem, the word of God came through Shem. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that the oracles of God were delivered unto the Jews. Because that the Jews came from Shem, according to the flesh, Jesus Christ came from Shem. Now, is that prejudiced? I mean, God chose to send His Savior through a particular race. And it wasn't the white race and it wasn't the black race. It was through the Shemites. Luke chapter 3, verses 23 and 36 will tell us that the Lord Jesus, according to the flesh, came from Shem. Salvation came from Shem, since the Jews came from Shem. John chapter 4, verse 22 says, salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is not of the Caucasian. Salvation is of the Mongoloid. It's not of the Negroid. It's of the Shemite. That's not prejudice. That is discrimination. God discriminated in choosing one race rather than others. I use the word prejudice and realize that I've not defined the term prejudice as we've made this tape. Let me just say that prejudice is making a opinion on something without first checking out the facts. Prejudice, prejudge. Sometimes it is making a judgment in disregard for the facts, having been faced with the facts, and then ignoring the facts. Now, God is not prejudiced, but God does discriminate. He sent salvation through the line of Shem. See John chapter 4, verse 22. Is this prejudice? No, this is divine discrimination. God, through Noah, gives the prophecy concerning the Negroid and concerning the Mongoloid. And now we're going to deal with the prophecy with Japheth, the Caucasoid. But this ends side one of this Bible study tape. The third prophecy deals with Japheth, the Caucasoid. See Genesis chapter 9, verse 27, where Noah said, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God did enlarge Japheth and sent him all over the world. The great explorers who spanned this earth were not Negroid. They were not Mongoloid. They were Caucasoid. Now, you can say that's prejudiced if you want to, but I just believe the Word of God have found that the Word of God is going to be true. And if history wants to recognize it, that's fine. And if science wants to recognize it, that's fine. If you want to recognize it, you'll get a blessing. But to tell you the truth, as far as God's Word is concerned, I could care less. God's Word is true regardless. God enlarged Japheth. Noah said, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he didn't make... Now, you say, well, this is just talking about the individuals. No, it's not just talking about the individuals. God did not make Japheth gain 50 pounds. No, sir. This entire passage here has to do with God populating the world. And he populated the world through Noah's three boys, and the prophecy of Noah has to do with where Noah's boys are going to go and what they're going to do. Genesis chapter 10 deals with Noah's boys and how they populate the earth and where they went and who their children were. This does not have to do with the individuals as much as it has to do with their seed, their offspring. These prophecies come right after Ham's seed has done something wrong, or Ham's seed has gone wrong. Ham sinned, and his sin involved almost definitely his seed. And so the prophecy has to do with the offspring, the seed of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The other prophecy about Japheth, not only that God would enlarge him, was that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. And those of you that know history know, well, anybody knows, that Caucasoids came from Europe to America and took over Shem's property. This belonged to Shem. Japheth took it. As evidence of that, if you were to dig in your neighborhood, or probably even in your own yard, perhaps even under your own house, you would find things that used to belong to Shem. The most common thing found is Shem's arrowheads. Japheth now dwells in the tents of Shem. Now God divided these races, and he divided them with natural boundaries. We read in the Bible in Genesis chapter 10, verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. The Bible also says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and this is an important verse, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Not only did God send the nations of men to cover the face of the earth, he divided the earth for them. He appointed times and the bounds of their habitation. God set boundaries for the nations or races. He didn't have to. He could have allowed them to all stay together, but he didn't. He divided them. Why did he divide them? Look at verse 27. Look at it. Don't get mad with me. Just look at what the verse says. Here's why he determined the bounds of their habitation. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Integration is what society wanted in the days of Lot, but God did not want it. God wanted segregation. He segregated them in Genesis 10. They united, and he segregated them again. Look at Genesis chapter 11. Let's read the first nine verses of Genesis 11. Genesis 11:1 says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Oh my, that's great, isn't it? Isn't that what the world leaders would like today, is to get everyone to better communicate, get everyone where they can talk the same? Well, that's not so good. Verse 2 says, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Well, most folks would say, hey, the Lord's admiring what they're doing. And they have all one language. Someone would say, hey, the Lord is recognizing the good that we're doing. We've got everybody speaking the same language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And the United Nations say, oh, the Lord is looking and seeing how good we're doing. He notices that we're speaking all the same language, that we're united, and now because we're united, we can do all kinds of wonderful things. We can build hospitals. We can build tremendous recreation centers. We can get rid of the ghettos. Oh, we can do all kinds of wonderful things now because that we are united. And the Lord admitted, he said, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. But look at what the Lord said he was going to do about that in verse 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Lord says, nothing doing. We're not going to let this happen. We're not going to let them be able to do this without me. And he gave them different languages. Verse 8 says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, that's one instance where the Lord confounded some people. This is a little hard to understand in realization of the verse that says, God is not the author of confusion. But see, the confusion came about when man tried to do something that God never intended for man to do. God intended for man, after he divided Noah's boys, to be divided. He set boundaries for their habitation, and they disregarded those boundaries, got together, speaking the same language, the same speech, going to do great things. God says, you're not going to do any of that without me. And the Lord segregated that bunch and scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. God wanted segregation. Integration is what really results in confusion. And if you don't believe that, you just visit your nearby public school. If you don't believe that, then go visit the public school for about the last 15 years. Integration always results in confusion. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I don't care whether you integrate a society, it results in confusion. If you integrate a town, it results in confusion. If you integrate a neighborhood, if you integrate a school, if you integrate a plant, if you integrate a church, the result is confusion. And you say, well, we're not, we don't appear to be all that confused. I want to tell you, God's way is always best. And the school system, factories, neighborhoods, this entire nation would be better off if she practiced what God planned. Some people think that America has been blessed and prospered so well because she has been the melting pot of all the nations, and because she's received so many people with so many different religions and races and ideas, that that is what has caused this nation to be blessed. That's a bunch of humanistic hogwash. The reason why God blessed this nation is because when this nation started out, this nation honored God. That's the only reason why this nation has been blessed. And as this nation disregards God and goes ahead in the way of Genesis chapter 11 and does what the United Nations were trying to do there in Genesis chapter 11, then they'll find the same things going to happen. God's lifting his hand of blessing off this nation. And if we don't turn back to him, we're in trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. There's a place for everybody. There's a place for you. There's always confusion when you get out of your place. Abraham, for instance, was a Shemite. He married Hagar, a Hamite, contrary to the will of God. This union produced the Arabs who have fought Israel to this day. See Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, verse 15 and 16. And Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 through 30. Another illustration. You remember Lot? Lot was a Shemite. He married a woman who was almost definitely a Hamite. This union produced, through incest, the Ammonites and the Moabites, who were Israel's enemies for 500 years. See Genesis chapter 12, verses 5 through 10, Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, chapter 19, verse 26, and verses 30 through 38. Samson, you remember him, one of Israel's judges? Samson was a Shemite who loved Delilah, a Hamite. And through that relationship, he lost his joy, he lost God's power, and he committed suicide. See Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 31. And then Moses, a Shemite, married a Hamite wife. She was an Ethiopian. And you remember that the Ethiopian is known by his skin, Jeremiah 13, 23. And this caused strife in his immediate family. See Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 16. And if you don't believe that confusion results from integration, then you just marry outside of your race and see what happens. Some of you, perhaps, that are listening to me, have someone in your family who is married outside of their race. Well, let me ask you, if that hasn't happened, would you like your daughter to marry someone out of their race? You say, "Oh, preacher, I don't believe in that." Well, listen, that is what integration is. You say, "I don't believe in that." That is what integration is. Integration is breaking down the divisions. Now, the only difference is some people believe that you're supposed to integrate a nation. Some people believe you're supposed to integrate the nation and the towns. Some people believe you're supposed to integrate the nation and the towns and the factories. Some people believe that that should include the schools. And some people believe that should include the churches. And then some people believe that should include the homes. And that no neighborhood is complete unless it's got some homes that are integrated. That is, some interracial marriages. You say, "Well, I wouldn't go that far." Yeah, you wouldn't go that far, but the reason is because that you have been affected by the news media, but not to that point yet. And the point will come. And it'll result in a confused mess. Now, this always results in confusion. I've talked with folks who believe in integration, and they believe in race mixing. And, of course, there are no scriptures in the Word of God that teach race mixing. There are none. The race mixers say, "Well, God is no respecter of persons." Well, that's true. God's no respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of races. He established the races. He divided the races. He set boundaries for their habitation. He gave them different languages. He enlarged one race, sent salvation through another race, and made another race into servants. Now, when the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, which it does in Acts 10:34, Romans 2:11, and Ephesians 6:9, it has nothing to do with race mixing whatsoever. Certainly, men of all races are sinners, and in that sense, there's no respecter of persons, and these individuals can all be saved and used of God. But when it says there's no respecter of persons, that does not mean that God does not respect races and notice differences between races. You say, "Well, preacher, you're just a prejudiced bigot." Well, let me ask you a few questions and let me make a few statements concerning our racial prejudice. I've led nearly as many blacks to the Lord as I have whites. How about you? You ever led a black person to the Lord? Now, I haven't met as many of the mongoloids as I have negroids, but I guarantee you I've led a number of black people to the Lord. Have you? You say, "Well, preacher, no, I've not led any blacks to the Lord." Or maybe you're a black person listening to me, and you say, "No, I've never led any whites to the Lord." Well, you're kind of a prejudiced bigot, aren't you? If you're a soul winner and believe in winning souls to Christ, do you win the blacks? Do you win the whites? Do you win those outside of your race? For 3 years, I pastored, a little over 3 years, I pastored in Sylvester, Georgia. And for around 3 years, I taught a Bible study in a home to blacks 2 hours every week. And, of course, we didn't make it every week. Some weeks we missed. But we had a weekly Bible study for 2 hours on Saturday. Racial prejudice? Have you spent that many hours trying to teach the Bible to folks outside of your race? I took part in the organization service for Open Door Baptist Church, which is the only fundamental independent black church in our town. Two families that I taught and Sylvester are members of that church, and they go soul winning every week. Do you send folks to another church? You say, well, I believe that you ought to reach them. Have you helped establish another church? I didn't have much to do with that, but I've got two families that I instructed in the Word of God that are fine members over there. They support that church with their attendance, with their tithe, with their soul winning. They take part. Now, most whites that I know of, now I don't know about too many blacks. I've not talked with too many blacks concerning race mixing. But most whites that I know of that believe in race mixing have never led a black person to the Lord. Now, the possible exception to this would be some preachers. But most whites that I've talked to that believe in race mixing never led a black person to Christ. And most of them are kind of hypocritical because they'd like a small percentage of blacks in their church, kind of as a token. They'd like to have a small percentage of blacks in their church, but I guarantee you that many of the whites that I've talked to who believe in race mixing would be extremely uncomfortable if 75% of the congregation were blacks. You might like it to have a couple of families in the church, but what if 75% were of a different race? And then, most whites that I know that believe in racial mixing, they would go for integration in the community, they'd go for integration in the school, and they'd go for integration in the neighborhood, but they don't go for integration in the family. Well, that's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? Because where families get their members from is from the school and the neighborhood and the church. A church is no doubt a soul-winning organization, but the church also fulfills many social fellowship needs for individuals, and many people find their mates in churches. Now, another thing I found about these racial mixers, most whites that I know that believe in racial mixing, they don't like jokes about blacks. But I find that they a lot of times will laugh at jokes about whites. That doesn't seem fair to me. You say, well, those jokes that we laugh at aren't just white jokes; they're just general jokes. Well, do you realize that many of what you would call general jokes don't apply to black people at all? That they wouldn't enjoy it, wouldn't get the biggest laugh about it as you would, because it doesn't apply to them and they don't understand it as well. Another thing that I've noticed, now I tell colored jokes, but I tell more white jokes than I do colored jokes. And of course I tell Pollock jokes too. Not because I'm better than them. Not by any means. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could have very well been born into another race, and so could have you. Most whites that believe in racial mixing, they don't want blacks to be called niggers. But they don't mind calling a segregationist a prejudiced bigot. Well, you're kind of hypocritical and prejudiced yourself, aren't you? Aren't you prejudiced against prejudiced people in your own mind? Now, at Bible Baptist Church, we don't turn anybody away. We've never told anyone that they cannot come in these doors. We've never stopped someone at the door and say, I'm sorry, you must go home. And we at Bible Baptist Church witness to everybody that we can. We go house to house, and we do whatever we can to get the gospel out into our community and into all the world. However, we do not try to get blacks into a white church. We witness to them, and here in Albany, Georgia, we promote the Open Door Baptist Church, where Henry Williams is the pastor, to black people. Another objection by racial mixers is, Christ broke down racial barriers. And they quote Galatians 3:27, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." Now the trouble with that verse is that no one is in Christ Jesus physically. You are only in Him spiritually. Therefore, while spiritually the distinctions may not remain, physically they do. For instance, the same man who wrote Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he made distinctions between men and women concerning their hairstyles. He said men are supposed to wear their hair one way, women are supposed to wear their hair another way. The same man wrote it by inspiration of God. Why don't you holler prejudice against him? Now, the same man that wrote Galatians 3:27 also wrote 1 Timothy chapter 3, which clearly tells us that women can't pastor churches. The physical distinctions have not been knocked down. There may not be neither male nor female in Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus is a spiritual thing. And physically, you're not in Christ Jesus. Another distinction that's not been broken down physically, men don't bear children, women do. I don't care if they're saved, the physical distinctions remain. Men are still men and women are still women. So Christ, you say Christ broke down the racial barriers. No, he didn't break down racial barriers in the sense of changing them physically. Physically, they're still the same. We may be brothers in Christ, but that's spiritually. Physically, something else. We still have men and women's restrooms in our church. That's right. Physically, something else. And then there's the statement by race mixers that all men are created equal. He said, "Well, preacher, don't you realize all men are created equal?" No, I don't realize that. Where'd you read that? You say, "Well, it's in the Bible." No, you may have read it in some old document that had to do with the founding of our nation. But you just think that you found it in the Bible. All men aren't created equal. Baloney. Now, for somebody to say that all men are created equal, they must be blind. Because all men are not created equal. And speaking of being blind, some people are born blind from birth. Some people are born who cannot hear. Some people are born missing members of their body. Some people are born rich. Some people are born poor. Some people are born into freedom. Some people are born into slavery. All men are created equal? Not on your life. People aren't created equal. They're created different. They're all equal in the sense that every man's a sinner and every man can be saved, but they're not all equal. They're different. Now, the desire of this world is to get all races to get together and speak the same language, live together, and prosper. But the act of God in the Bible has been to divide them, give them different languages, and establish bounds of their habitation. Acts chapter 17. Now, which is the Christian going to choose? The Bible believer walks with God, contrary to the world, recognizes God's divisions, and tries to live by them. He loves people of all races. He endeavors to get the gospel to people of all races, but he does not try to mix the races. And you mark it down, anytime you try to mix the races, whether it be nationally, whether it be in a neighborhood, whether it be in school, church, or in the home, you mark her down, it will eventually result in confusion and finally in chaos. You say, "Well, I just don't agree with you, preacher. I think that it's the greatest thing that could happen." Well, you go ahead and you think that way, but the same Lord that came down in Genesis chapter 11 and divided those folk is going to come down upon the United Nations here one day. And I want to tell you that the one person who's trying to unite everyone is not the Lord. He unites people spiritually in Christ. The one who tries to unite folks physically is the devil. And he's getting ready for a one world, one money, one religion, one language system. in which everyone will be united. And I want to tell you that the same Lord that interrupted the United Nations in Genesis chapter 11 is going to come down on them in Revelation chapter 19. And that, beloved, is not the prejudice talk of a Georgia redneck. That's the talk of a man who loves mongoloids, caucasoids, and negroids, but a man who loves the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, and a man who believes the Word of God regardless of what anybody would have to say about it. And the Word of God plainly teaches segregation of races. When we talk about race mixing, you're talking about something that God is not the author of. Race mixing is of the world. Racial hatred is of the devil. Racial prejudice is of the flesh. Racial discrimination in love is of the Lord. I hope that you've been able to listen to this tape, and may God give you the understanding that you need in this day and hour when we live in an integrated society. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you.